Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the middle of the Bible, Psalm 127. I'm probably going to read the entire chapter. Beginning in verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your mercy and the opportunity to gather together in the name of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for everyone here in our presence. We pray the word of God would be a blessing to them, an encouragement. If anyone is not saved, they might come to know you as our Savior. If those that are discouraged, they might be encouraged, and everyone might lift their hands up and eyes towards you, that you might be honored in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of announcements, first of all, I want to thank all those that came out yesterday. We had a good-sized team in evangelizing, and we were able to get out about 1,000. I didn't count exactly, but an estimate about 1,000 packets out, so that's always a real blessing. It's really a real blessing when we have lots of workers out and everybody's taking part. It just makes the load that much easier. It's not a burden of just one or two people when we have that size of group. So hopefully you put on your schedule the first Saturday of September. We'll try to get another big group out and see if we can get some more out and cover San Antonio with the gospel. The effort is worth it. I want to thank all those that prayed, that took time to set aside that time in the morning to pray for the evangelism. Continue with your prayers. Also, I got word from Robert and Debbie Teetsman. Debbie is confirmed COVID. Robert has the symptoms of COVID. So on Wednesday night, about two-thirds of the church got a severe warning that the level of COVID in San Antonio is now severe. So we need to be aware of that, take precautions as you see the need. Just wanted to let you know that. So I want to focus on verse 3 and talk about that, since we do have some children in the church. And the Bible does say, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So probably at least this week and next week, we're going to be talking about children. And I wanted to take this morning to lay the foundation, starting with this particular verse, and lay out the fact that children come from the Lord. The Lord has given them to us, and therefore we need to recognize that and be responsible with the gifts that God has given us. It says here, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So I want to show, first of all, proof from the scriptures. We're going to look a lot of verses this morning. I want to prove, first of all, that it is indeed God that gives us children. Amen. I want to show you examples in the Bible, living examples of where God definitely gave children. It was an answer to prayer. It looked like it wasn't ever going to happen, but God stepped in and children were brought forth. Then I want to talk to you about the will of God concerning children. And I also want to talk to you about the purpose of children and the blessings of children. Hopefully we can get through that this morning. If not, we will continue next week. And somewhere down the line, we will talking about raising children and what the Bible says about it. So what I want to do is, first of all, establish the fact that children come from the Lord. So it's not up for us to decide how we want to raise our children. If they come from the Lord, we have to look to the Lord to see what his will is for the children because it was the Lord that gave them to us. So let's look at some verses. First of all, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Look back in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 9. And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. So Joseph's father's come in. He asks, well, whose are these or where do these children come from? And Joseph's response was, these are my sons whom God hath given me. Joseph recognized that God had given him children. He didn't say, he could have said that I bore or I begat. He could have said that, but he recognized that it was God that gave him the children. So that's a fact that we want to establish, and I'm going to show you a few verses on that. Jump over to chapter 33 and verse 5. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and said, who are these with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. So we do see that children are come from the grace of God. God graciously gives us children. It is a blessing of God. And we need to recognize that. And I'm afraid that in our generation, and the reason I'm taking the time to go through that, it appears to me, I get the sentiment, I get the understanding, I get the feeling that our generation of Americans and maybe our generation of people around the world have forgotten where children come from. With the abortion mills running nonstop around the clock, it's if they don't realize that children come from the Lord and we ought to be careful about how we treat children and how we deal with them. And then with our generations, at least from my parents, or at least from my generation when I was growing up, we've got to the place that, and this is no smirch on women or men, fathers or mothers, I realize that everybody has to work, but there was a movement away from as if staying home and taking care of the children was some menial task that it's not worthy of dealing with, that it's more important to have a career. Well, let me tell you something. Raising children is a career. Amen. Raising your children is a tremendous responsibility, and I'm afraid we neglected that. Yeah? Now, I realize in our generation, divorce is rampant, and that is an effect on children, and we need to be careful about that. You get so selfish about your own concerns, you forget about the children that God gave to us, because divorce has a tremendous effect on our children. So, you need to be aware of that. But unfortunately, we live in a time when children are neglected. They're just left home, mom and dad's running off, if there's a mom and dad in the family. They're just running off and doing whatever they wanted. Unfortunately, I remember my own family. My parents were divorced. My mother had to work. I had three siblings. So the responsibility was given to me to take care of my siblings. I didn't want it. I was 12 years old. I didn't want to take care of my brothers and sisters. I was very selfish myself, wanted to do what I wanted to do. And unfortunately, we all got into trouble. We all went down the wrong road because we did not have the guidance by adults, by our parents that were there watching over us and guiding us. Remember that children are an heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is his reward. God has given us these children and we need to be careful that we guard them and guide them. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 12. It's a sign of the blessing of God when God gives us children. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thine kine, and thy flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. So we see, or we can infer from this verse, that the blessing of God is that the womb will not be barren, and that women will bear children. That is a sign of the blessing of God. Yeah. children are a blessing of God. I got a verse in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 just to show you that this theme runs throughout the Bible and not just in one portion or another. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me," he says. And again, it's God that gives the children. And if God gave us the children, that it behooves us to recognize that first of all, and then to seek his guidance on how to raise them. Yeah. All right, let's look at some examples in the Bible where God gave children, where it's very obvious that it was God that gave them. Can anybody think of a first example right off the bat that jumps to your head where God gave children? Samuel. That's one, yeah. Abraham, thank you. Who said that one? 10 points for Abraham, because that was my choice, so we're going to go with Abraham. Abraham and Sarah. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. Surprised that nobody said Adam and Eve, but anyway. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. "And they said unto him," these were the angels and the angel of the Lord coming unto Abraham, "and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door and was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." That is, she was not in the state that you would normally think that she could bear children. This is why I chose this particular passage. "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now, this is definitely a place in the Bible that shows without question that it was God that gave the child. Sarah recognized, I'm too old to have children. According to the science, I'm unable to have children. Abraham's too old to have children. According to the science, we're too old. We're waxing old. That we're beyond our childbearing years. So they lay that foundation, and then God begins to speak and said, don't be laughing at this, because I'm going to give you a child. And there it is. It's God that gives children. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Look down in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 2. And I recognize in our generation, and probably throughout the generations of mankind, there has always been this extremism that those that are barren are just such a strait to have children that they will do things that they probably shouldn't have done. Like Sarah herself giving a handmaid over to Abraham. In other situations where people are trying by drastic means to have children. Then the other extreme is children are just completely neglected and aborted even. Yeah, they're just thrown to the gods of the river, or sacrificed on altars, or put into fires. They're just completely neglected. And we as believers, we need not go to the extremes on either side. We need to have a balance and recognize that children do come from the Lord. But I think you understand that not having children can cause tension in people's lives. And that happened in the lives we're reading here, Jacob and Rachel. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 2, "Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's hands who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" Excuse me. So again, we recognize here that Jacob recognized that, listen, it's not in my power, although physically I'm able to beget children, but it's not in my power if God stays his hand. We have to go to God, and if God withholds, then we need to go to God. It shouldn't be a conflict between you and I. It should be a matter of prayer that we go to God and say, hey, what is God's plan in this thing? Because it's God that gives children. Yeah. The point is that some young ladies have gone to extremes to have children. It does cause friction in the family when there can't be, for whatever reason, there's unable physically to have children, and it causes friction. I've known people that have gotten divorced over this issue. Yeah, but we need to recognize, and it looks like that Jacob and Rachel were having a marital spat over this issue. And Jacob concludes, he says, look, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And we know the rest of the story. When she sought the Lord provided. Look over in Judges chapter 13 and verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Here we find another woman that was barren, and then obviously God stepped in and she bore a child. Yeah? So again, we're establishing this fact that children come from the Lord, that children are an heritage of the Lord. And I think this is good advice. If you're going to have children, drink not wine nor strong drink. That's just plain old good advice. Now, I'm taking this a little bit out of context here, but it is good advice. Yeah? Lots of children have been ruined because their parents were drunkards. Yeah? Their lives, their careers, their future was completely destroyed because their parents were not the example they needed to be. So I'd like to take the advice that was given here. Don't drink wine and strong drink. It's just good, practical advice. Yeah? Because many a drunkard started out thinking, no, I can handle it, I can control it, and then they became slaves to it. Yeah? Too many people have fallen into servitude of strong drink and alcohol that it's not worth the risk.
Amen.
Yeah? It's not worth the risk. Even if you can, find some verse that gives you license to drink. Yeah? That's not the point. The point is, it's not worth the risk. We have so many drinks available today, yeah? There's no reason for you to be drinking alcohol. Yeah? If you want to learn how to make a banana split milkshake, come by and I'll show you how to do that. That's a great drink, yeah? Another person, and I want to read this chapter, and please bear with me because I don't think I could articulate the story here, so I think the Bible does a much better job of telling the story of Hannah. How many people remember Hannah? Here she's barren and she wants a child so bad, like many young women, desiring children, and she's crying out to the Lord. And so I want to read this story in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And I want to pause there and note that this was an act of God. God had actually shut up her womb because God has a purpose in giving and withholding children. And that's the foundation where we're laying. It's God that decides these things. And also I want to note the conflict. There is this envy or jealousy that, you know, somebody else has more children than I. And especially in these types of houses, do not recommend polygamy. Yeah, I don't think the Lord recommends. I think the Lord's idea was one man, one wife. And when people start getting into these types of situations, they're just provoking problems. And this problem arose. Yeah, we'll talk about that some other day. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And so you need to be careful about criticizing somebody else, maybe that's barren and not having children. It's like, you know, judging somebody because they're going through affliction. Don't you be wagging the finger at people like Job, because you don't know all the facts. You don't know what's going on. Yeah, you're not aware. Be careful about judging things before the time. Yeah, that's just good advice. You're welcome. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So she's having a physical crisis because she can't have children. Yeah, it's a great anxiety. Then said Elkanah, her husband, unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why carest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose. She didn't answer that question, by the way. So, we'll just pass on. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now that's a good example right there. Yeah? You're having problems in your life, whatever they may be, you're having a crisis. Why don't you go and pray unto the Lord? You having problems with your husband? Why don't you go and pray unto the Lord? Having troubles with your wife? Why don't you go pray unto the Lord? Having trouble at work or with your boss or your neighbor or with your pastor or your brother in the church or sister in the church? Why don't you go take it to the Lord and see if the Lord can work it out? That's just good, practical advice. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. So apparently when you get drunk, your lips move and you're not saying anything. Yeah. Drunks don't really say anything anyway, even if you can hear them. They're not saying, not anything you can understand. Yeah. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. There's good advice. Put it away from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Now here's Hannah's opinion about drinking. If you're drinking to such a way that people think you're drunk, she's automatically assuming that you're a child of the devil. That was her opinion. That's her take on it. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah And all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. And Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, and he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She worshiped the word Lord there. So, she prays unto the Lord. God hears his prayer. And what did God give her? A child. Again, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The Lord rewarded this woman. God blessed her, and she lent that child back to the Lord for the service of the Lord. You know, you ought to pray before you even have children, that God would give you children, and then you ought to pray that those children will use the Lord. I'm thankful that Janice and I set aside way, even before we got married, and especially right after we got married, we got on our knees, we prayed to God and said, God, give us the children that you want us to have, and then may those children grow up to love you with all their mind and all their heart and all their soul. That was our prayer. That ought to be your prayer. Even as a young man or a young woman right now, even before you're married, you ought to start praying for the children that God will give you, because children do come from the Lord. Well, let's turn to the New Testament. Look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Do you see a pattern in here? Yeah, I do. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. I want you to note here, we can infer some things here. Notice that Zechariah is praying. Apparently he's praying that they can have some children. That appears to be so. His wife Elizabeth was given a promise. They were given a promise by the angel of the Lord. You're going to have a child. But you're not to direct it by your own counsel or your own wisdom. You're to follow these instructions. And what were the instructions? He said, you're going to have joy and gladness. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to be filled with the Spirit. He's not going to drink wine nor strong drink. And he's going to turn many to the Lord. That ought to be our prayer, that our children will turn many to the Lord and be used. Because when God gives us children, he has a plan for those children. He has a purpose for those children. And we as parents need not to impede the plan of God. And woe be it us if we ever do that. We ought to be so in sync with the will of God and seeking the Lord in prayer and reading his scriptures and listening to his voice. What is God's plan for my child? Not what is my plan for my child. We were just talking, I believe, yesterday at the dinner table about these Olympians. Some of these children, they're in the Olympics at 13 years old. They've been training since they were three. Why? Because mom and dad want them to be that way. Yeah? It wasn't that the three-year-old volunteered and said, hey, I want to be an Olympian. Mom and dad decided that. And so my question would be, was that the will of the Lord? Was that? And how many children didn't make it to the Olympics? Yeah?
Very few.
Very few, yeah. Very few. Mom and dad are deciding things without the counsel of the Lord. Now, if it's the counsel of the Lord that says, yes, I want my child to be able to flip on a beam, if you find that in scriptures, let me know. But then, yeah, go ahead. But if not, we need to consider as parents, what is the will of the Lord? Too many times, parents have forgotten that children are an heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We forget that and we think, oh, we're the masters of our own fate. We decide what our children are going to do and we forget what is the will of the Lord for our children. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Let me give one more example, and this is in Matthew chapter 1. This ought to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is the Lord that gives children. We had some children that were barren, and then God opened their wombs. But here, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, and Joseph, verse 18, and the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, and which being interpreted is God with us. Here is a virgin that God said, I want you to have a child. Now, we can go through some more verses, but I hopefully establish the fact that children are an heritage of the Lord and children come from the Lord. Would you agree? Amen. All right. So we've established that. Now let's move on. What about the will of God? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. What is the will of God concerning children? He says, I will therefore that younger women marry. There is a process. You get married first. Yeah. I will therefore that younger women marry, and let me tell you, marriage has, gone down the tubes in our generation as well. Yeah? You don't need to practice before you get married. Yeah? You don't need to live together for a few years to see if it's gonna work out. Let me tell you a principal thing about marriage. It is a conscious decision to endure to the end. Did you know you can learn to love a person that you do not know? Why? Because love is an attitude. Love is a choice. You choose to do so. Don't tell me, well, I just don't love him anymore, or I don't love her anymore. That is a conscious choice that you make. Yeah? You don't have to shack up with somebody to find out if you're compatible. You can choose to marry somebody and love that person as your husband or wife and make it work, because marriage is a commitment. As you've heard around here, it's a good saying. I hope you don't take it literally because it's just an expressing idea. Divorce never, murder maybe. Yeah? That's a conscious decision. Look, we're not going to divorce. If you go into marriage with divorce on the table as an option, then the first difficulty you have, you're going to be out the door and there's going to be a divorce. But if you go into the marriage that divorce is not an option, then any difficulty that arises, you have to figure out how to work it out. At least if you want to have a good marriage, you want to have a good life, then you're going to work out the problems you have. Let me give you a warning. You're going to get married. There's promises. You're going to have problems. Amen. Yeah? And so it's a conscious decision, it's a decision, a choice that you make to work through those problems so that you have a good marriage. Boy, we're getting on all sorts of subjects this morning. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, do you think the adversary is speaking reproachfully in our generation?
Yes.
Unfortunately, he is. He's putting a blot on Christians. You know there's Christians getting divorced? That not ought to be. And if you're divorced here, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying something that you should already know, that divorce is not a good thing. Yeah? It's not in the plan of God. It's not in the will of God. God wants you to be with one man and one woman for your entire life. That was God's plan. We realize that sin enters. We realize there are difficulties. And if you find yourself in that situation, well, we'll work from there. But the point is, God is not the author of divorce. That comes from people rebelling against the will of God. So, and the enemy is speaking reproachfully against the people of God who have chosen to disobey the will of God. Yeah. What is the will of God? Younger women marry, not shack up, not live with their boyfriends, not fornicate, but marry, bear children. Young ladies, let me tell you something. Young men do not want the responsibility of a wife, but they want the privileges that come with a wife. And so, let me see if I can phrase this delicately. Nobody is going to buy the cow if the milk is free. And I hope you can understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. Nobody's going to take the responsibility of the cow if they can go get the milk for free. And the same thing, young ladies, be aware, a man likes free milk. Don't give free milk, making by the cow. I may have gotten myself in trouble, but I hope you understand the metaphor. Yeah. All right, let's put it across the plate. A young man will take your virtue if you give it to him for free. Don't let him do that. Tell him that is only for marriage. Amen. He starts pawing on you. You can understand he does not have your best intentions in mind. You're welcome. Fornication is a warning in the Bible. It says flee fornication. Run from it. Yeah? So God's will is that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. You know the problem we have in these United States of America? Is that too many young women have given up their virtue for free. They gave their milk up for free. Now they're with child, and that boy that said that they love them has abandoned them.
Right.
They will promise you the world to get that free milk. Make them buy the cow. Make them marry you if that's their intention. I'm going to have to find another animal. I guess I did too, so. Oh boy. And getting our minds back, yay, we have enough time. Let's get back to the Bible here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. There you go. There's only two. Binary. Yeah, I think it's binary. Yeah. One, two. Male, female. Nothing more than that. Yeah. One male, one female. Yeah. That is what God created. What does he say? He said unto them, well, first he made them, created them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Basically, he's saying, I want you to stock the earth. Yeah? I want you to be fruitful. That was God's intent. He wanted one man and one woman to join and to be fruitful. In other words, bear children. That was God's plan. And that's our warning that we're close to the end. So, what is God's plan? One man, one woman, one marriage. They be fruitful and they bear children. And he repeats this throughout the Bible. Look in Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's just an old English word means to fill, to stock, to fill up. Yeah, replenish. Genesis 35:10. He said, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be with thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. God has some intent with children. I'm going to rush through to this next point because I want to finish because the alarm did go off. The next point is, I think we've established it's God's intent, yeah? It's God's plan that children come from Him. He gives us the children. The children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It comes from the Lord. God gives us the children. It's the will of God that we marry and have children. It's within God's plan. And then God has a purpose for the children, and this is what I want to emphasize, that we need to be careful and we need to be aware of God's purpose.
Amen.
That we do not forget that it was God that gave us these children, that little one you got back there, Tanisha, in your arms, God gave you that child, and the others, God gave you the children. You need to look for God's plan, not your plan. If you can get your plan and God's plan together, that's great. That's what we want to do. Yeah? Get your plan so it coincides with the plan of God. Look in Psalm 113 and verse 9. He maketh, this is talking about God, He maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. There is a great joy and blessing that God gives us in children. Yeah? We ought to rejoice in that. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Amen.
How about that? And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and adorned or ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God has intents for your child. And when He gives you that child, He's giving you the responsibility to follow the intent of God or the will of God, the purpose of God. What was God's purpose for the child? That's what the responsibility you as the father and the mother have to find out. What was the purpose of God for this child? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. So it's God that separated us from our mother's womb and He calls us by His grace. You and I as parents, we need to figure out what is the will of God for our child. How does God want me to raise this child? Real problems is we think I can raise my child any way I want. That's not what God said. Yeah. That may be what the devil says, but that's not what God says. That's maybe what you think, but that's not what God says. So hopefully I did establish this morning through the scriptures that children are indeed an heritage of the Lord, that children come from the Lord. It's a will of God that we have children, and hopefully next week we're going to start seeing from the scriptures how we are to raise our children and the responsibilities that you and I have as parents on how to raise and guide our children in the will of the Lord. Amen. Well, we'll take a 5-minute break and then we'll have the preaching hour. Amen. Thank you for your patience.